We're in Sefer Maseilas Yesharim in the first perek. What we learned last time was that man, whether he likes it or not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed us in a battle. Musam be'emet b'toch milchama chazaka. And we quoted the concept that throughout one's life, a person will always be in a battle, and the battle has different directions. And there's no idea of not being in a challenge. Throughout a person's life, the challenges will change, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give a person different challenges throughout their life. But we gave the parable of a game, where there's different levels in the game, and each time at the beginning of the level, you don't know exactly what your mission is going to be, but you know there's going to be a new mission for this particular level, and as you play that level, then you figure out along the way what your mission is. But there's also a deep belief when you're playing any particular game, a computer game, there's a deep belief that you have all you need to pass the level. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made the game like that. So too, when we're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't always know going into the next stage of our lives or period of our lives. Who knows how long each period is going to be. But when we go into each period of our lives, we don't know specifically what the challenge of that year is going to be. But what we do know is, whatever the test is, we'll figure it out along the way, and that we will have the skills that we need in order to pass that test. And the mashal that the Maseilas Yesharim just gave was, on the one hand being rich, on the one hand being poor, on the one hand being having a peaceful life, on the one hand having a life of suffering. Either way, those are challenges. Whichever direction a person looks, there is a challenge on some level. Ve'im yeh leben chayil, and if he'll be a warrior, meaning to be a warrior means that you're aware that you're in a battle. If you're aware that you're in a battle and you're facing whichever battle comes your way, even though initially you don't know exactly where the enemy is going to attack from or what your particular mission is, but if you're aware that you're a warrior and you're coming to face the battle, and you're able to win the battle on every front, meaning when you were in one stage in life and the challenge was so and so, then you were able to recognize that challenge and overcome it and serve Hashem faithfully in that situation. And then when that all turned around and you're in a totally different life situation and you just thought you had everything as it was supposed to be, and then you're back to stage one and you have to restart everything, you have faith and you serve Hashem in that way again. And if you're able to win the battle on every front, that person, Hu yeh Adam HaShalem, Asher yizkeh lidavek bevoro, so that person is a complete person. And a complete person is obviously going to be the person who was able to win every front. The person was able to be successful in serving Hashem when it's some midos, but in other midos he just fails horribly, that he's not an Adam HaShalem. He might have strengths, and in those areas he's very good. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always going to push you to areas which you need to work on. In fact, it's ironic that when people often choose to work on themselves, and they're doing their cheshbon nefesh, I think we may have spoken about this, then they often look at areas that they're already working on. They say, what do I need to work on? I need to think about what areas, and they make a list, and they choose taka the areas that they're anyway working on. And what about the other areas that they're not working on? It doesn't come to their mind, because you know they're working on these areas, so they kind of naturally come back to the areas they're already working on. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't allow that. He'll always dafka push us to the area that we're not currently working on, because that's how we're going to reach perfection. Mashallah maha davadome. This is a political example, and who knows if this is an accurate one exactly, but it could be a clear message. That in 1967, at the beginning of the year, then the Jewish people were quite, the state of Israel was quite content with the small parcel of land that we had been allotted by the UN. And we were happy to remain in that area. We weren't looking for war or battles, we were quite content. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had other plans. He was saying, well, what about Yerushalayim, and what about Hebron, and what about Shechem, and what about Beit Lechem, and what about Gush Katif, and what about the Shomron, and what about the Golan? Have you forgotten those areas? So we didn't ask for it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a battle our way, and then we just found ourselves against our will. We weren't looking for that, but we found ourselves against our will in a battle on every front. And we weren't looking for that, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking for that. So he put us in a situation where, whether we were interested or not interested, this is what the battle we're now fighting. And it was a blessing, because although there was a loss of life, the borders of Israel returned to broadly their original borders, some areas more, some areas less, depends on the north and the south, but it became, at least the holy sites of Eretz Israel, returned to be under the hands of the Jewish people. That's a mashal. And sometimes there's an area we're not interested in fighting a battle with. But because we're not interested in fighting, so we're losing. Right? We're not in control of that area. A person could have a particular trait, like let's say self-discipline, for example, of eating foods, which he's working on and doing well in and conquering from area to area, and he's taking more self-control. And every time he thinks he wants to work more on himself, he naturally goes back to that same area. What else can I take self-discipline of? And he decides not to look at messages throughout the day and only in the evening. And he's conquering more and more of the area of self-discipline. But there's a whole area of arrogance that he's failing in horribly. And he has no idea of that. And he's not interested in working on that. So every time he thinks, I want to be more of a tzaddik, I want to work on myself more, he just naturally goes back to the self-discipline and takes on a new area within self-discipline. But what about the area of arrogance? He doesn't even, because he's so arrogant, he doesn't think that's an issue that he has. Then he doesn't get to that topic. Is it clear, the idea? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to help us be shalem, to be perfect, to work on every single area, Hashem will send us a challenge in specifically the area that He right now wants us to work on. So if you see Hashem sending you a challenge, you're like, where did that come from? What did I do to deserve that? It means that Hashem believes in you. He believes that you can conquer a new area. And even if it wasn't something you'd planned to work on, Hashem believes that's what you should be conquering right now. You might not have thought Yerushalayim is in the area we're supposed to conquer. And you're quite content with, you know, half of Jerusalem. But Hashem says, no, the old city. That's the area you have to conquer now, whether you like it or not. And it'll set us up that that's just what we find ourselves in that battle. And then we win it and we succeed. Because He believes in us, we can believe in ourselves. And as we succeed in that area, we become Shalem. I'm going to mention this point again in a different shiur, but just as an anecdote, it's important to know that if you ever take on a Kabbalah in a particular area and you're sincere about it, almost guaranteed that you're going to be tested in that area quite quickly. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu, when He sees that you want to work on a particular area and He wants to help you out, so you're not going to work and grow in that area if you're not being tested. So if you're sincere in working on a particular area, then you can almost expect that within a short period of time, after taking on a Kabbalah, a resolution in a particular area, that you'll be tested in that area. Try it out. We're going to be speaking probably next week about what is a resolution, how to take on a resolution from a Torah perspective, how to take on one that lasts. That's going to be one of the points that we're going to mention, just by the way, that beware, you know, you've been warned. Whatever you take on, you're likely to be tested in. And that's all back to the same point, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be shalem. So if we're not working on an area that we need to work on, He'll send us that area. Asher Yizkeh, now He mentions 2 points here. What will you be zoche if you're fighting every battle that comes your way? You'll be zoche to 2 points, and this takes us back to what we spoke about last time. On the one hand, lidabek b'boro, and on the other hand, v'yetze min ha'prozdor v'yikanes b'traklin la'or b'or olam. And that's that dual element, which it doesn't say explicitly, but if you're reading into the Mishnah Shalom, you can see that the Maseilas Yesharim here is saying that we benefit both in this world and in the next world. The benefit we have in the next world is as a result of all the good that we've done in this world and overcoming of the bad, we earn our next world. And we deserve a spiritual closeness to Hashem. But not only in the next world is that true, but even here in this world, the person can already sense the closeness with Hashem here in this world. So he says both elements. He says if a person is willing to fight every battle, and he will be an Adam Shalem, Asher, in this world, Yizkeh Lidavek Baro. Already here in this world, you'll sense the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And additionally to that, Yetzeh Min HaPrizdor HaZeh V'yekanes B'Teraklin. As well as that, you'll be able to leave the entry hall room, and you'll be able to enter into the palace. Now he mentions another point. And this is also crucial. We have to break down what he's saying. U'kafi HaShi'ur Asher Kavash Et Yitzro, ותאב ותאב, ונתרחק מן המרחיקים אותו מהטוב, ונשתדל לדבק בו. He doesn't repeat himself stumm. If he says 4 things, then he's saying 4 points, right? You have to be medayek in every element that he's saying. כך יסיגהו וישמח בו. So let's break it down. So the first point that he's saying is, וכפי השיעור. What does כפי השיעור mean? It means that it's proportionate. Meaning, עבוד השם is not all or nothing. It's not either you serve Him or you don't serve Him. Rather, it's a spectrum. According to the degree that you put in efforts in Avodas Hashem, that's the relationship you'll get. And this point is crucial to hear. Sometimes there are people who unfortunately leave the path of Torah. And what makes them leave the path of Torah is a false perception which is that either I'm everything, and I have to take on all the halachas, and I have to keep all the chumras, and I have to have all the hashkafas, and if I do it all, then I'm in, and if I'm not, then it's all worthless. And because of that false belief of all or nothing, once they feel that it's too much for them to do everything, so they drop out. And the words of the Mercedes Shalom can give tremendous chizuk. Kefi hashi'ur. Kefi hashi'ur. It's proportionate. It's proportionate for everyone. The more you invest in a relationship with Hashem, the more you'll be connected to Hashem. Of course, there's a baseline of halacha. Of course, everyone needs to keep a basic halacha. But does that mean that if a person's not yet doing it, or is trying to do it but not doing it, or even stopped not doing it, does that mean that the other areas are not worth anything? He won't be zocha to any closer to Hashem? No, not at all. Kafi hashiul. According to the degree that a person puts in, that's what he gets back. So it's true that he won't be shalem. It's true that if a person's not putting in everything, he won't be perfect. But that doesn't mean to say that everything else they did is not worth anything. Now one must be very careful with this concept, because it depends where you are. It could either encourage you or discourage you. If a person's not doing everything, and he's willing to drop out, then this is very encouraging. Everything you do matters. Everything you do makes a difference. Connect to Hashem. But it also could be discouraging. You have to be careful. A person could say, should I take on more? No, it's according to the proportion I'm doing. I'm doing quite good. 80% is quite good. It's a pass. I get at least good enough marks for that. I'm willing to do with that. That's very dangerous. You should be very careful. You won't get the shleimus that way. And the Ramchal's aiming for shleimus. The reason why he's saying it is to say, kafi ashir, even if you feel you're doing well, if you put in more effort, you can reach more. That's why he's saying it. He's saying it only to encourage us, to help us recognize that the more effort we put in, the more closest we can get. Just totally in brackets, I told the story last year, I just want to tell it again. Not on the point that Mrs. Sharma is making of encouraging us that however much we're doing, we can do more and connect more, but on the other point of someone who's thinking it's all or nothing. So I had a friend who wasn't religious. I mean, he was raised kind of half traditional, and then he totally left. And he was hanging out on a Friday night on the street smoking in Israel. And someone came up to him and started, like, someone came up to the group and started schmoozing with them about Torah and about mitzvahs and things. And he was making fun of them, and they were making fun of each other. And then the person said to him, you know, you smoke on Shabbos? You smoke on Shabbos? He says, I'm not giving up smoking. Okay, you smoke. But don't extinguish the cigarette. Just put it down, let it go out by itself. That's what the person said to him. Do something for Hashem. You're not willing to go smoking yet? So be it. We don't have to extinguish it. Just let it go out by itself. That's what this religious Jew said to him. And he said, he couldn't get that thought out of his mind. He said, that matters to Hashem? That makes a difference? It's important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that detail? And he took it in a positive way of, if that tiny thing is important, then could you imagine how much not smoking to begin with is important? And could you imagine how much? When I met him, he was an Avreich in Kol, and he knew a few Masechtas Shakla Vatari Balpin. I had never met him before. I only met him in a shiur. We were in a shiur together, and he mentioned that story kind of, by the way. I was blown away by his insight that even the tiniest, tiniest step towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu could open the Petach and help a person recognize that they have an opening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them and cares about that small act that they do. Back to the Mesillas Yesharim. Kefi hashiur. The more you put in, the more close you'll get. Now he says 4 points. Number one, Asher kavashet Yisrael. These are the four missions that we need to do in order to come close to Hashem. Now, point number one is kavashet Yisrael. That's talking about the negative things that we feel a pulling towards, a desire towards. You have a great comment to make, it's at someone else's expense, and you just have this desire to say it. But it's a Yetzer Hara to say that. It's going to embarrass them. And you stop. You started saying it, you started. That reminds me of, and you catch yourself, and your friend says, go on, what are you going to say? You say, no, forget it. They go, no, go on, what are you going to say? Don't leave us hanging. And you say, no, it's Lashon Hara, I don't want to say it. And they say, oh, respect. If you're going to stop there, wow, you're a man, you're a real man. It's a gever. And when you do that, that's Yetzer. That's Kovesh HaYetzer. You're overcoming Yetzer. You wanted to do something. It was going to give you pleasure on some level. But it was forbidden. And you catch yourself and you stop it. That's going to bring you close to Hashem. Point number two is Tav Votav. Taiva here is not referring to an Avera. It's referring to being drawn off to the world, even in a permitted area. A person is a tither for food, more than he needs. So a person's going for seconds, he's going for thirds, he's going for an extra dessert, he's going for whatever it is. It's not an avera, but he's still being drawn after the world. And by definition, someone is drawn after the world is drawn away from Hashem. So the second point that a person is conquering is, number one, conquering the Yetzer Hara, doing a bad. Number two is conquering the tither. Point number three, v'nitrachek min amarchikim. These are written in order, right? There's from bad to, not bad, but if you follow it, it's unhealthy for you, to putting boundaries around yourself. So a person, third mission that we have is, we have to set our life up in a way that we're distancing ourselves from those things that are going to distance us from Hashem. That's not at the moment, that's ahead of the time. So that's making sure you have a filter. That's making sure that if you know there's a particular person from your past who, whenever you speak to them, always leads to inappropriate talk, that you just somehow cut off ties with them, or find a way to talk to them and only in a way that's going to be positive to conversation. That's if you know there's an area that when you walk there, it leads to inappropriate thoughts, then you find an alternative route to walk. It's setting up your life in a way that you won't be challenged. That's point number three of how to come close to Hashem. Nitrachek, where you distance yourself, min ha-mitrachakim oto mi'atov, from those things that take you away from good. Identify things that when you do them, they take you away from good and you set yourself up to be... Another example of this is, some people have thoughts that are unhealthy for them. They make them feel upset or depressed or anxious. So when do those thoughts come? Everyone has different times when they come, but let's say they come on a Friday afternoon. So they're thinking about their family and they're thinking about being home. They have certain times when those thoughts come. So a way to design that you won't be plagued by those thoughts is to set up Friday afternoon a sports game. That you know you'll be actively involved in something else. Go and do some charity work, phone your grandparents. Do something where you're actively involved in the world. Where you don't leave a space for those negative or inappropriate thoughts to come in. Everyone has their own areas which they know they need to set up their boundaries. But by setting up those boundaries, you're setting yourself up for success. So point number one was succeeding when the Yetzer Hara is attacking you. Point number two is succeeding when you have a tiva. It's not the Yetzer Hara to do an avera, but it's still being drawn after the world. Point number three is ahead of time, ensuring that you're protected. Point number four, v'nishtadel lidavekbo. This is already on the Aseh Tov. First three were moving away from bad. This is the good. And this is what we spoke about also last time. We gave the mashal of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, that it's not enough that a person doesn't do bad to come close to Hashem. It's not just the Sur Meira and you're automatically close to Hashem. You have to have in mind a mindset of, I wish all that I'm doing to bring me close to Hashem. If a person puts on tzitzis and puts on tefillin and their mindset is nothing, just that's what you do, then that's what you'll accomplish through it. In the next world, you'll get reward for it. In this world, it's just something I do. It won't bring you necessarily to feel close to Hashem. Next world will be fine. This world will be lacking. But if a person does those mitzvot with the mindset of, this is the will of Hashem, and I'm doing the will of Hashem, I'm aligning myself with God by doing this act, then your thought that you have, that you wish to connect to Hashem through doing the mitzvah, just like we told the story of Rabbi Elazar, when they went into a cave the first time, their mindset was to disconnect from the world. That's what the Torah did for them. When they went in the second time with the mindset of connecting to the world, that's what the Torah did for them. If you fulfill mitzvot with the mindset of wanting to be close to Hashem in this world, you will sense closer to Hashem already here in this world. You'll sense the joy of that connection that you have. So those are the four levels. Number one, moving away from averas, conquering averas when it comes. Number two, moving away from desires, even if they're permissible. Point number three is setting up boundaries that you won't even get to a negative area. And point number four is having a mindset when you do a mitzvot that you wish that mitzvah to be a way for you to connect to Hashem. If you do all those four things, according to the degree that you do them, there are levels. You can do them on a basic level, you'll accomplish it on a basic level. That's tremendous. You can do it on a higher level, you can reach it on a higher level. Luxury. Kein yasigehu v'yismachbo. And if you do that, you'll accomplish it and joy. And I think here, this is also again that parallel. Yasigehu is referring to the next world. You'll accomplish it. I mean, that's what you're aiming for, the next world, to accomplish it for the next world. But not only the next world will you accomplish it, but even in this world, v'yismachbo. You'll feel a sense of joy of the connection that you have with Hashem. Those are the two levels. This world and the next world. V'im ta'amik od. We've already looked deeper once, now we're looking deeper a second time. ואם תעמיק עוד בעניין, תראה כי העולם נברא לשימוש האדם. Just to give a background and then explain what he's saying. What we've said until now could be misunderstood in the following way. There's this world and there's the next world. There's no real connection between them. This world is the world of effort. The next world is the world of reward. There's no inherent connection between them. Other than that's where you get reward. Mashallah mahadavadome. I say to my child, sweetie, clean up your room and I'll give you a sweet. Or a candy, but I say sweet. So he goes and he cleans up his room and the room's all clean. And then he comes out and he says, where's my sweet? And I give it to him. Is there any connection between the clean? No. There's no connection inherently between the clean room and the sweet. It's just that I connected them. I chose to say that equals that. They're not really connected. There's no inherent connection. But I just made them connected. I said, if you clean your room, I'll give you a sweet. That's a misconception someone may have if they would read until this point and pause. There's this world and the next world. If you do mitzvot here in this world, you'll get reward in the next world. Is there any connection? No, just be a good boy, clean your room, and you'll get the sweet at the end. That's what you might have thought. V'im tamik od b'inyan, but if you look more deeply at the matter, then you'll see, tir'eh, ki ha'olam nivra l'shimush ha'adam, that this world itself was made, designed for us to use to enhance and create already the next world. In fact, the next world is called Olam Haba. Now, where is it right now? It hasn't come yet. But what about the people who have died already? So is it called Olam Haba for us now in this world? And when we get to the next world, what will it be called then? When we get there, what are we going to call it? Olam Hazeh? Because that's where it is then. Meaning, is the world Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba just a question of time? Olam Hazeh temporarily, and that's Haba in respect to now, but once I get there, that will be Olam Hazeh. Someone who's already passed away, are they Olam Hazeh as well for them? That's one way of looking at it. But a deeper way is, it's called Olam Haba, not because just in respect to now it's in the future, but because I'm making it constantly. It's constantly coming through what I'm doing here in this world. It's not that there's one stage of this world, another stage of the next world, and when I finish this world, I'll get there. It's not like a luxury lounge, a business lounge in an airport. It exists. Just the question is, do you have a pass? You have a pass, you can go in. You don't have a pass, you can't go in, but it's already there. That's not how it works. Rather, it's Olam Haba. You are constantly an act of creating Olam Haba the whole time. How are you creating it? Everything Hashem gives you here in this world is an opportunity to build another brick towards the next world. You are creating your next world right now through this world. Hinehu omed b'shikul gadol. And we stand in a great balance. Ki im adam nimshach achar ha'olam u'mitrachek mi'boro. If a person allows himself to be drawn after this world and thereby distance himself from Hashem, You see what the phrase there is, a very telling phrase. Nimshach. What does Nimshach imply? You don't have to go after the world. You have to be drawn after the world. This world will do its thing and make you feel connected to it, even if you don't follow it actively. By the very fact that a person is not putting an effort to create the next world, he sinks down. It's almost like we're standing on quicksand. That if we take effort, take planks and put them down and build, then we can raise up. But if we just stand still, then it sinks. It just sinks. Or a downward escalator and you're trying to go up. This world, the default is nimshach. Person's drawn in. Ve'im nimshach achar olam. And if a person's drawn in after the world, mitrachek and boro, he's distancing from Hashem. Ve'hinehu mitkalkel. He ruins himself. U'mekalkel ha'olam imo. And he ruins the whole world with him. I'm going to pause at this point just because this section needs a lot of explanation and our time is out. So what we've said so far just today was the crucial understanding of the four different stages, the mindset that you have to be aware of those four levels. And maybe when you're doing your cheshbon nefesh, you could use those four levels as a way of identifying where you're holding in any area. You can take your cheshbon nefesh book that we spoke about the other day, and I'm still willing to give out a book if anyone wants one, just to write in. And just write down, which areas am I following the Yetzer Hara? Which areas is it not the Yetzer Hara, but I have desires for this world? which areas would I benefit from putting boundaries around myself, and which areas am I doing good, but I'm not really thinking deeply about how that's connecting me to Hashem. That could be a mission between today and tomorrow. If everyone wants to write those ideas down, just find areas in which all those apply to you. And if you do that, not only will you be zocha for the next world, but yismach, you'll already find a sense of joy in this world. And tomorrow, Bez Hashem, we'll go into more depth to see how this world is creating the next world and how to correctly use this world in order for it to serve not only as giving you the next world, but how to benefit of the closest to Hashem here in this world. Yashar Koach.